and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. This time, I am your fabulous and ever snarky host, Sasha Kaplan, aka the Eternal Red Ranger, and I am joined by the fabulous, the amazing, our season's Pink Ranger, Brian Massey.
Hey everybody, what's going on? It's me again. How's it going?
So today we are reviewing, so last episode we reviewed King for a Day, which was Tommy's existential crisis. And yep. Today we are reviewing A Brief Mystery of Time, Mystery to Me, and Another Song and Dance. Starting off with A Brief Mystery of Time, it's basically a Groundhog's Day episode and that no one asked for.
Yeah, that was literally my first note. Which is funny because you could argue that the last episode was almost like a total recall, I guess you could say. So somebody had to have been watching a lot of movies when they were writing the scripts for Zio. At least that's my theory.
I mean, considering how terrible the scripts are, I'm not surprised if this is just like, oh, hey, let's borrow the plot from Total Recall. Let's do a Groundhog Day episode because I just rented that from Blockbuster yesterday. Like,
it works for Bill Murray. It should work for Power Rangers. Like, okay, cool.
Except, doesn't that? but before we get to the Groundhog Day episode, I'm the funniest part of this episode to me, Brian, is the fact that Miss Appleby is giving like a real test.
Right?
I mean, this is a woman that like 2 years ago had them doing, or 3 years ago had them doing like presentations about their hobbies and like, I don't even remember what, like presentations about their, like papers about their future careers. And I'm like, is this an elementary school or a high school?
I guess the takeaway I could kind of see the silver lining on that is like, oh, okay, they're starting to get near the end of high school where like their final tests are coming up and like, hey, she's buckling down maybe.
Sure.
Again, just a theory.
Sure, it's as good as anything. So there's a bunch of things that happen in the course of this Groundhog Day episode, or of the, I guess, the Groundhog scenario, which is that Tommy and Kat, there's like a lady chasing a teenager on a skateboard and Kat's books get knocked down. There's the kid with the locker, a conversation about the test, and then snow cones at the juice bar with Tanya and Adam.
Mm-hmm.
But the really interesting part of this episode is actually Prince Gasket. What did you think of his plan?
I thought his plan was competent, at least. I mean, it makes sense. It's like, hey, it's going to take a while for these backups to get here, which I didn't understand if they were actually traveling through space or they were traveling... I didn't catch, are they going to travel through the snow globe or how does that work?
Yeah, they never actually explained that because I thought the snow globe was just supposed to keep them inside the time loop until the reinforcements from not the moon arrive.
Yeah, and like, it's cool that we get to see like, because like when you see like all those spaceships and the quadrifiers like going around the city and the obviously Japanese looking city, that's like the very first shot of O-Ranger where like, oh, Japan's getting invaded. So I'm glad they got to use that footage. But again, like going back to like the plot, it didn't make sense where they were coming from. So at the same time, I was kind of confused as to why do we need to, you know, slow down the world again?
Yep.
This is like the third time this has happened. First time with them, like first time with the Machine Empire. Because the other two times it was Rita and Zed, but...
But what's really weird about this, and so Gasket's plan is actually pretty brilliant. Keep the Rangers trapped in a time loop while he's waiting for reinforcements.
Yeah.
And yet, he doesn't follow through with the invasion, which I guess begs to your question about were they supposed to come through the snow globes or not? Because the snow globes get destroyed, but I'm like, you still have like an army... You don't plan on using it? Like, they're still on their way.
That's a great point, because just because, and yeah, and I didn't mean to catch off there, but yeah, the whole reason that this all happens, or rather it doesn't happen, is because Tommy's brain has been messed with so much that, like, he can see these weird, like, permeations or, like, different waves of time that, like, everybody else can't.
Well, the way that Zordon actually explains it, which is, thank you for an actually semi-believable explanation, is that Tommy's experiences with his, in Total Recall, basically turned his brain to mush. So he's immune to the same shenanigans that are making everybody else think, just, like, not aware that they're reliving the same day over and over again. He's sort of immune to that.
Yeah, so he's basically, it's almost like how Hawkeye was about to get brainwashed in Avengers Age of Ultron. He's like, yeah, no, that's already happened to me before.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of, sort of. That you bring up a great point, is just because the little vantage point, the little snow globe that's on this, like, JVC stand gets destroyed, does not mean that all of a sudden the Armada just automatically goes away.
Right.
And
so, unless, like, and I don't remember this, but I don't remember Louis Kaboom destroying the Machine Empire. So, like, it's not like they don't, and we see later in the last episode we're reviewing that they do have Quadra fighters and things that they can do to launch the invasion. And Gasket is just like, well, this plan doesn't go exactly my way, and Sprocket interfered, so we're just going to abandon this. And I'm just like, why?
I love how sassy you were when you were doing that. Because that's also very much like, yeah. And it was like, what's the, oh, God. Oh. As much trouble as you guys cause, you are so incompetent. And, like, it's just, it's hilarious to me that, like, their whole thing, their whole branding is that they are machines and they don't feel the weird inferior emotions that humans do.
Uh-huh.
Except they totally freaking do.
Yep.
You know, pride comes before the fall, especially with machines, I guess. So, yeah.
And we do really see over the course of these three episodes that emotion that you're talking about between Gasket and Archerina. Did we mention their name is Gasket and Archerina?
No, their names are Gasket and Archerina, yeah.
Yeah. Brian, you might not know this, but when Mike and I reviewed the episode where Gasket and Archerina show up, literally every time they talk about, they're like, Gasket and Archerina, Gasket and Archerina. I'm like, did they mention their name is Gasket and Archerina? Became a running joke across the entire episode.
Take a shot every time that they say Gasket and Archerina.
Pretty much.
You'll be dead before dinner time.
One thing I did want to know, which I thought was hilarious and very, very much dates this episode, is that when Kat opens her locker, you can very clearly see a Dare sticker.
Yeah. Oh, I remember those days. I'm old enough to remember the Dare assemblies in middle school. Don't think you'd see that in modern Power Rangers. And I don't know if that's just because of New Zealand or because Dare's just not a thing anymore.
I think it's because Dare's just not a thing anymore. And also, it's not like Power Rangers ever actually dealt with, like, at least where we are right now, it's not like they've ever really dealt with, like, real world problems.
Yeah.
Like, they deal with the cutesy, with, like, okay, this is going to sound a little weird, but, like, they deal with the relatable problems that all little children will understand, because this is at the end, we've talked about this, right? This is a show geared towards, like, 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
So they're going to talk about the importance of, like, the environment and having charities for kids who don't have parents or, you know, community cleanups, things like kids will understand.
Yeah.
So things like Dare, they're not going to.
Although I do distinctly remember there were commercials featuring Power Rangers back in the 90s where they would talk about not only, like, Dare and the dangers of drugs and to stay away from them. I think there was also something where David Yost as Billy was talking about weapons, like, and, like, he's got this thing and it's, like, full of guns and knives and stuff, and I'm like, dude, what? So it, huh. You know, yeah, that I guess it just didn't fit the actual episode, but then they were like, well, we got to cut some PSAs, guys. So
there weren't enough in Power Rangers as it is, folks. Now I'm going to have to Google that.
Yeah, I will send you the link after we're recording.
Cool. All right. So on that note, we talked about the Wonder Wheel before when you hosted, but I still think it's the stupidest thing on earth.
Oh, what? The wheelie boy guy?
It's just like a Zord that turns into a wheel that they just throw at the bad guys. And oh my God, Brian has a toy of it. Sometimes I do wish that we video recorded these so people can see the hilarity of our expressions. And I will give you credit, Brian. Although our listeners cannot see it, I will say it does look really cool as a toy. Concept to fight evil with, it's stupid.
I mean, it's literally just kind of, and I'm sorry for anybody listening at home that doesn't have video, but it basically just, like, imagine this is my hand, or actually I've got a Void Knight from Dino Fury here, and he just kind of does this. That's all he does. He just kind of like flops on. It's almost like someone doing a belly flop.
No, sir. I didn't see you playing with your toys again. Any other thoughts about this episode? It's kind of meh. There's nothing really to say about this episode. Bulk and Skull don't have like one scene in this episode that they don't do anything.
They do nothing in this episode. My favorite part of the episode is every time we get to see the dude rollerblading and the teacher is like, hey, get back here. Cause like you can tell she's trying not to crack up. She's like smiling the whole time. And I don't know why, but I just kind of love that. And you can tell the way that they shot it, like, you know, Tommy and Kat bend down to pick up the books, which might not be together. And like, that's where the cut happens. And then that's where they film like the new day's like portion. So like Tommy reacts normally in the first day. And then he's like, oh, that's kind of weird in the second day. And then in the third day, he's like, wow, Deja, wow, what's going on here? And like, it just kind of continues.
The other hilarious thing is, I don't know if you caught this, but I thought it was hilarious how the Rangers totally don't believe Tommy at first until Zordon confirms it.
They start to believe because Bulk has gotten soda to the face like 3 times in a row now.
Well, I think it was the cogs that did it though. Because they're on their way to the juice bar to meet with Tanya and Adam. And he's like, oh yeah, by the way, we're going to get attacked by cogs in like a hot minute.
Like, yeah, like Tommy's just like, look behind the bushes and, you know, see for yourself. And like, they do that. And then like, he just stands there and just like, like he's just waiting for them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, and then what?
This episode is just bad.
Yeah.
And it's also just like, I just find it funny. They're just like, oh, we don't believe you. I'm like, right. So people who can't stop singing, we'll get to that. You know, people getting turned into monsters. That's believable, but Groundhog Day is not. All right then, fine, sure. That, you know. So on that note, Brian, unless you have any other notes, I'm ready to move on from this train wreck to the other train wreck.
Yeah, I'm ready to move on from this one.
So a mystery to me opens at a spooky.
I just had a thought. I'm sorry.
No,
I
go hate for to interrupt it. You.
I had a thought. What if we literally just, instead of reviewing these two episodes because they suck so much, why don't we just review that first episode 2 more times?
No.
It fits thematically, right?
Moving on to a mystery to me, we open on a haunted-ish looking manor where
it looks like
a bunch of children have been assembled in various roles by Lieutenant Stone to play a game of whodunit to raise money for the police force that he quit. Sure.
You got more context out of that than I did.
I love whodunits, so I pay attention, but this was not a good one.
I've actually never been able to do one myself, but I've always wanted to.
Me too. Well, there we go. That'll be the next VFTG bonding experience.
Yeah, it's like we'll do like a caper, like who's done it dinner and drinks and whatnot.
Yeah, it'll be a really big mystery of who killed Mike. And, I mean,
and I'll and I'll go ahead and wear an obnoxiously big gold hat too.
But anywho, it's a whodunit party, and Rocky is very upset because he's the butler, and I'm like, girl, you're lucky you weren't the paper boy,
right?
Girl. So Lieutenant Stone is like, yes, I have the culprit's name. And I'm like, what culprit? Who's dead? What's the crime? What's going on? I asked too many questions.
I haven't seen one thing happen here that would lead me to believe that we're anywhere near the end of the game.
Exactly. Especially because Bucket's Call are like, what are we doing here? And somebody's like, well, Lieutenant Stone told us to be here. So anyway, as Lieutenant Stone is getting ready to read the name of the culprit, lightning strikes, the lights, you know, turn off, and Lieutenant Stone disappears. And for some reason, Kat is our detective on this?
Because she's the one that would just naturally assume that position, I guess? No.
Also, Lieutenant Stone's accent is a crime all by itself.
He tries so badly to do this Inspector Clouseau accent from the Pink Panther. And yeah, don't do that.
Hot take, Power Ranger actors should, the only accent Power Rangers actors should ever try to do is an American accent.
Yeah.
Or their own New Zealand accents. They should not try to do others, especially during the period we are now.
You know, they should have kind of a cute accent, maybe. Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, so meanwhile, in the creepy back room, or like the, you know, secret passageways, Archerina and Gasket are there.
Yeah. and why is Archerina so jealous again?
Right? And she goes like, she gives Pink a bad name. And I'm like,
Yeah.
Tell me you don't know how to write female characters without telling me you don't know how to write female characters.
Like your butt's hanging out in half these shots, but go right on ahead and tell me about being a strong female protagonist. Or antagonist. Power Rangers has that problem where they don't know how to write for certain types of characters, and it definitely, I will agree, it shows in this episode.
You know, all you had to do was say Power Rangers doesn't know how to write and just end it there.
Touche. Touche.
Speaking of, so basically Archerina's like, oh, this Pink Ranger, I'm going to take her on and destroy her. And Gasket's like, okay. That's cool. Wifey right there.
Like, I'm surprised he wasn't just like, do I get to watch? Because that's pretty much his whole thing this episode.
And he sort of exit on by saying, oh, she's quite pretty or whatever. And I'm just like, bro, quit while you're ahead.
Yeah.
Also, shocker, Kat is not a great detective.
You don't say.
I know. It's a real shocker.
My day is ruined.
But so basically, one by one, various of the other characters and so start like looking around the house. And then the Ranger's like, okay, Adam volunteers to go looking, and then he finds the store, and there's like a secret light or something like that, and he gets sucked into like a secret passage and ends up being locked in a dungeon. And slowly everybody except Jason ends up being locked in this dungeon, which is kind of brilliant. Like, if you want to isolate Kat, this is a smart way to do it.
I agree. And it's funny too, because they believe that this is the room where people who are, you know, oft go to.
Yeah, but then we learn with Jason, Bulk, and Skull that that's actually not the room, which, like, we saw that coming. We all know there's a weird glowing light. Like, give me a break. Lieutenant Stone doesn't have a budget for light effects.
Like, I was surprised when we saw a door with light coming out of it and we didn't see Zordon making yet another new Ranger.
The flux capacitor malfunctioned, and so they can't make new Rangers.
Oh no, not until next season.
So Archerina is basically like, I have your ranger friends trapped. If you fight me, you know, I'll let them go. And I'm just like, uh-huh, sure. But Kat is Kat, and she agrees. And so they fight, and then Kat's like, okay, we fought. Can you release my friends now? And Archerina's like, no. And Kat goes, you tricked me. And I'm like, uh-huh. This is new? How many times this season have like it's same thing happened? Wow, Tommy and Kat deserve each other. Because the same thing happened with Tommy and King Mondo earlier this season, right? Where Wanda's like, I will do whatever. And then he betrays, double crosses Tommy. Tommy's like, you tricked me. I'm like, no kidding.
Yeah, like, no, like that. There's times when I'm like, okay, these guys are competent, but then there's times when, especially with Tommy and Kat, I just have to sit there and think. They have two brain cells in their heads apiece, and they're both fighting for third place. Because it just, like, the way that they're thinking makes no sense. You know, why do you give King Mondo the, and that was another episode.
Sorry, oh, that was the Arrowhead episode, yeah.
Yeah, I just got done recording a bunch of stuff a couple days ago with Mike on that. You know, and, like, the whole cliffhanger is, hey, your brother is trapped in a cave. Funny enough, we kind of have rangers trapped in a cave here. And if you don't give me thing that I want, which happens to be Arrowhead, then no brother. So, you know, same situation here, but just kind of skewed a little bit differently. And they both fall for it. And I'm like, how did Kat not hear the story that happened? Because you know that Tommy had to have told her, yeah, you know, I got tricked.
Well, the rangers watched it all happen, didn't they?
I think so.
In the viewing globe. Anyway, that's a separate episode. But yeah, it's just like, she, what is going on? And then in a surprising turn of events, Oryk, the very, very misnamed conqueror, appears as reinforcements. I'm like, oh, cool. So that character actually comes back. Mm-hmm. Do you
Although
know?
I...
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, sorry. I continue.
I was going to say, Brian, do you know if Oryk was from the Sentai and what purpose he had in the Sentai?
I know he's from the Sentai, and the best way, especially, even if you're not, like, really versed on, like, Super Sentai lore.
Which I am not.
Fair enough. For these older episodes, you can't really tell with, like, more modern ones, but definitely with, like, Mighty Morphin and Zeo and Turbo, look at the film grain. Look at, like, because you'll notice that it's a little darker whenever you see Sentai footage, and, like, the fight where Oryk shows up, that is Sentai footage. Now, I don't know what his name was in O-Ranger or what purpose he served. I'm sure it had to have a very similar one.
All right, well, maybe our listeners can tell us in the comment section, or they can tweet at us and tell us.
Yeah, I just haven't gotten that far in O-Ranger yet, but I am watching it. But something that I think is kind of interesting is how, and this is kind of me just doing some guesswork here about where I'm going to find this episode in O-Ranger. I'm feeling it's going to be in, like, that first half, because we don't see the Gold Ranger in this episode.
Yeah, Tommy, I mean, Jason just kind of, there's a lot of sidelining of certain rangers happening this season, Adam, and I'm just not here for it.
Me
but
either.
This time it's very much Jason, who just, like, never morphs, and is just kind of there this episode for...
They're doing that...
They could have just written him out of the episode.
They're doing that same crap that they did in season one when there just wasn't enough footage of Burai. So they're like, oh, sorry, no Green Ranger in these episodes. Like, and they're kind of doing the same thing, except for this time it feels a little more arbitrary. Like, why are you doing that? You have the suit available. Like, you could literally just, oh, whatever. It's not worth getting into. Zia's frustrating.
Yeah. So Oryk almost dies, but then apparently gets better. That's fine. They defeat the bad guys. Whoop-de-freaking-do.
Yeah.
And then this episode ends with the reveal of who the killer is, and it's Lieutenant Stone.
So he committed suicide?
So did he just like, but see, the problem is that he was supposed to reveal the culprit of another crime when he disappeared. So he committed the crime, was going to reveal himself as the culprit of that crime, then made himself disappear so nobody knows he was about to, like out himself. The flames! Flames on the side of my face!
Anger. Stone proves yet again why he should not be in the detective business.
But also, this whole thing was like, there's a point where Balkan Skull, before they leave, they pull open the like food thing that was on the table, and it's a skull with like a snake and a rose on it. And then when they go back into the room to solve the mystery, there's the envelope is literally right under there. I'm like, what? Well, this episode literally means nothing.
Yeah, like part of me almost wanted to believe that they were trying to play like a bigger version of Clue. And it just fell apart. And I would, if that's something I had signed up for and that happened, like if I found out, oh yeah, I'm the one that's missing because I'm the victim. And oh, by the way, I'm also the murderer. I would demand my money back.
Yep. That's, boy. Any other notes on this episode, Brian? Because this episode exists.
Yeah. So let's see. Rocky's a butler.
Yep.
Bulk is a chef.
Yep.
Skull is Skull. I guess Adam is a adventurer, a safarier from England from the 1930s. Kat is a flapper, I guess.
No, she's a girl.
Or she's like a Wild West girl, maybe.
She's something. I think she's supposed to be like a French girl, but Tanya is the flapper.
Yeah, Tanya's the flapper. Thank you. Tommy, who is now profoundly Native American, is dressed as a cowboy. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Like I said before, Jason is a gangster, and he's got the biggest gold hat I've ever seen in my life. Like, that hat was wearing him.
That's what he was supposed to be? I thought he was supposed to be like an oil tycoon. I was so confused by the hat.
I mean, I guess, like, I don't know, because I think there's pinstripes on. My takeaway was gangster. Like 1930s,
Look, if we're confused by their character choices, that proves how little thought went into Jason being in this episode.
Yeah. I kind of want to do that cosplay at Power Morphicon. I kind of just want to go in a suit and get like the biggest gold hat I can and just be like, yeah, I'm Jason from this episode. See how many people get that.
No one will, because this episode is extremely forgettable. I'm sorry, Brian.
It's all good. I would give somebody like $5 if they recognized it. I'd be like, good, cool. But other than that, I got nothing else.
Cool. So on that note, let's go to the last, but not least episode of that we're recording today, which is called Another Song and Dance. And my ears are still bleeding.
I watched this two times because when I got my notes, not to get into too inside baseball, but like we kind of had to reschedule. So I kind of was like, well, I'll just go ahead. Like yesterday, I was like, let's go ahead and rewatch the episodes. And I completely forgot why I didn't want to rewatch this last one. And I was quickly remembered. I was quickly reminded because, my ears were bleeding too.
So
why does this episode exist?
I don't know. But the thing is like, there's two things happening in this episode. And some of it is actually important. But we'll get there. So basically, the story goes that Tommy is dancing, even though he has a singing assignment. And he asks. Please, go ahead, Brian. You're good.
Another movie reference because he's doing Risky Business.
That's what it was. Yes.
You know, I'm quickly becoming the movie guy on here.
Hold on a second. So we've had, we had, what was it? Total Recall. And now we have Groundhog Day. Clue.
Yeah.
And we got the, this is a terrible amount of episodes that we just had to review, Brian. And they're all ripoffs of other movies. I think, but we have like, what, two or three episodes left in the season after this, right? And so the fact that this is an, you can tell the writers have sort of given up at this point.
A little bit.
But anyway, so Tommy has a singing assignment and he asks Tanya, who is a singer, to teach him how to sing, because you can totally learn that in a week.
I did not know she was a singer.
Wait, really? Or are you just making a joke?
I didn't know she was a singer.
They had an episode, I think I reviewed it with Ben, I want to say, or maybe it was, I think it was with Ben. Yeah, where Tanya basically has the opportunity to start a singing career. Yeah, and they use a really awful, they wrote some really awful two songs for that episode. But anyway, it's a nice nod to continuity that they remembered that. They never remember half of the stuff the Rangers do on a day-to-day basis. So kudos to them.
That's like, because they're constantly changing hobbies.
Yeah. So yeah, Tanya helps him. And meanwhile, Queen Machina takes a page out of her dead missing husband's book and decides to curse the Rangers, or specifically Tanya and Tommy, by making them sing, which is less torture for them than it is for the rest of humanity.
Yeah.
So not only is everything they say in sing song, the it has to rhyme and follow a very specific kind of incomprehensible cadence. Melody.
Yeah, it has to follow like a kind of cadence or timbre or so on and such forth. What do they call it in Shakespeare? It's a I forget what it's called, but it's like a it's a ambiotic meter, I think it is.
Iambic pentameter.
That, thank you. Something like that. It's something like that that they have to follow. And later on, it gets very obnoxious. And like, you can tell Tommy's just coming up with, or JDF's just coming up with stuff because, hey, it rhymes. And
but also the other Rangers are so done.
Yeah. Like, I knew that they had to sing, and I get that songs typically have rhymes in them, but I did not know that like the sing-song curse also made it so that they had to rhyme everything.
Yeah, it was a weird decision, but like, if you wanted to have a musical episode, Power Rangers, this is not it.
Nope.
No.
Because like Tommy's kind of putting on this almost like operatic, like down here. And then Tanya's like screaming and she's like surprised every time she's singing too. And she's like doing this thing with like her hands like on her like collarbone. And she's like, like she's constantly surprising herself, almost like a dog that like woke itself up by farting or something. That's the expression that she gives every time she sings.
She's very like surprised that she goes that high, and there's so it's supposed to be weirdly operatic for some reason, and I'm like, you could have just there's so many things that the writers could have done, but I feel very, this episode like cements to me that the writers are just kind of done and they don't want to do this, because
like I agree,
because it seems like the writers are way more interested in the shenanigans happening with the Machine Empire, but then they are also constantly reminded by the producers that like, hey, BT Dubs, this is a Power Ranger show, not the Machine Empire show.
The only thing I wanted to add to that before we get more into this episode was, so Tommy does the Do Re Mi Fa Sol La Si Do thing. And I was just like, it got to a point where he was doing that. And this is before he was cursed to sing. And you hear like JDF try to sing in actuality. And I'm just like, dude, Do Re Mi Fa Sol La Si, don't do that again. Please, just please don't. But yeah, let's move on into the episode.
So before we talk about all the shenanigans happening with the Machine Empire, let's talk about Bulk and Skull that have been doing not much these three episodes and deserve better.
Yeah.
But Lieutenant Stone takes them fishing. And normally, you know, when we record these, we talk about Bulk and Skull at the end of the episode. But we have to talk about Bulk and Skull here because Lieutenant Stone takes them fishing for some reason.
Yeah. And I guess because that's part of being a good detective.
Well, he does sort of try to connect it to detective work, right? Like patience and listening. And Bulk and Skull are like, aha, sure.
Because if anybody's quiet and patient, it's Bulk and Skull.
Right. And then he pulls out this like weird caterpillar metal. I thought it was a whistle at first. And I'm like, wait.
Yeah, it looked like a weird crisscross thing, almost like a DNA strand.
Or like a Chinese finger trap or something.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason we're talking about this now is because this is what Prince Gasket, not Sprocket, Prince Gasket uses this to create a monster to, I guess, distract the Rangers while he attacks Angel Grove. Did I get that right?
I'll be real with you, Chief. I don't remember. Because No. I remember now. They were going to use that as a distraction to get some of the Zords out there, but then, like, they were going to track down where the Zords were coming from somehow, and then they were going to attack the totally not Power Ranger base, but the UAOH base from Power Ranger. So, yeah.
Right, the hub where all the Zords are kept that we're only now hearing about.
Yeah.
So I just, kudos to the actors playing the other Rangers, because if I had to put up with that on set, I would be dead.
I was experiencing cringe from the TV. I can't imagine being on set.
Because, like, there's only two settings I feel like you can have with this reaction. You're either dying of laughter at the utter stupidity, or you're just covering your eyes going, why is, like, just, you know, repeating to yourself, I'm being paid for this, I'm being paid for this, I'm being paid for this. But, you know, kudos to, I guess, the Ranger. Oh, I guess kudos to Zordon and Alpha for actually trying to help or figure out what did this. But... so we have a monster, but there's a problem. Tommy can't operate it because the spell that he's under, whatever stuff Queen Machina did to him, messed with his telepathic link. So in the only thing I've seen Adam do this season, which is truly criminal.
Yeah.
Is that Adam says, hey, what if we reconfigure the whatever Zord it is? To, you know, telepathically link to me so that I can pilot it and we can defeat the monster. I'm like, yes, this is going to be Adam's moment. It's going to be awesome. He's finally getting the respect.
Nope. He is not. Well, he commendably, he does control the red Zeo Battlezord pretty well, but then just things continue to go sideways.
Pretty much.
And not to step too much forward, but like we have the Super Zeo Megazord out there fighting alongside the Red Zeo Battlezord, which is Adam being controlled by Adam. And somehow, some way, they get cursed with this dancing spell.
Yeah, that didn't. Meanwhile, the cogs are attacking the. So Jason stays behind with Adam and they find that the cogs are attacking the Zord Bay. Bay, sure. And so they get the Zords out of there as the cogs arrive. And Jason's like, I'll take care of the cogs, which he does. But it's sort of weird.
Sorry.
I was going to say, why didn't they just use Pyramidus to fight the monster and have, like, I don't know, Rocky fight the cogs? Because I feel like all Jason's done in these episodes is fight the cogs.
Yeah. Which, again, I don't know at what point they ran out of Gold Ranger footage from Japan. But, like, I will say, like, I thought the fight in that, like, abandoned, I guess it's a steel mill, that looked pretty cool. I love the way that that looked.
It did feel like a bay with like it reminded me of, like, what is that movie? The kaiju movie.
Pacific Rim?
Thank you, that one.
Yeah, that I got those same feels. But it felt a little more like rustic, almost like kind of like it wouldn't be out of place in like a steampunk movie, maybe.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, as opposed to like a cyberpunk movie. And it was a cool fight. But then, like, and also I gotta say, I do like the monster because it's basically like three or four guys in these like weird balls.
Yeah.
Phrasing, I know. But like, yeah, it's kind of a cool design for like a Sentai monster. It's you know, and then they can like detach and do their own thing. Am I misremembering? Did Pyramidus show up at the end of it or no?
Not as far as I remember.
Right.
But they also don't really give a good explanation of why they shouldn't take Pyramidus.
I mean, yeah, it makes, like, they're having two Zords are having trouble with a monster like this, and you don't take out your tank. Your literal tank. Okay.
And like,
that feels like something they had to write around.
Yeah, and like, we know that Pyramidus has been purported as this like massive thing that is like more powerful than the Ranger's current Zords and is a good tool to have. And we know they have it. So it's just, it's weird. But I really liked the fact, one of the positive things, we'll talk about some positive things in the episode. I like the fact that they introduced Gasket and Archerina, because King Mondo, you can't really choreograph good fight scenes with him because he's really bulky and you can't move with him.
Yeah.
And so Gasket and Archerina provide an opportunity for hand-to-hand combat with the Rangers, which I thought was, which is always fun.
That those were some cool scenes. I liked the sword fight between Archerina and Tommy. I thought that looked really cool. And just that ground, I'm surprised that we had a Zord fight that kind of stalemated and then it turned into a ground fight.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting because you don't get that all the time in Power Rangers or Sentai. You don't get that a whole lot. So it was interesting, and it was like, it was different. It felt different. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And to a certain point, the way I follow the action there, I could at that point in the episode for the first time kind of ignore the singing. I don't know if you could.
Yeah, you're right. The singing sort of gets subdued. And then ultimately, like, they defeat the monster and that somehow breaks the spell, even though those were two separate actions. But whatever, there's a very simple explanation.
This was not linked to this monster. Why does this work?
But something interesting happens, because so far we've had, over these last few episodes, there is a distinct power problem.
Mm-hmm.
You have two factions. You have Archerina and Gasket. Gasket and Archerina. And they have proven that they have some follow-through issues, but their plans are way more interesting and way more what you would consider from like an A-list villain. Right? Yeah. Like brainwashing Tommy into destroying the Rangers. Brilliant. You know, looping, freezing time and launching an invasion was a great idea. Destroying the Rangers one at a time, starting with Cat, could have been a great idea.
Yeah.
And then you have Queen Machina and Sprocket. And Sprocket is just a petulant, whiny child.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard Sprocket say something akin to, like, oh, no fair, they messed up my plans. I'm like, dude, like, and yeah, he's a kid, but like, it gets annoying so fast. It gets so old. He is literally the spoiled child that you wanted to punch on the playground. You know what I mean? I don't condone punching children, but at the same time, like when you were a child and you had that child, yeah.
But something interesting does happen. Amidst all of this, our Scottish cog, whose name escapes me all the time.
Orbis and
Hanks? Sure. They do something very sneaky. They manage to scan the Zords in order to like assess their weaknesses and get the plans for them. This is actually right. Very smart. Which leads me to the most anticlimactic reveal of this entire episode. It's the fact that King Mondo is alive. And what did you think of this reveal, Brian?
It came way out of nowhere for me to care about it. And at this point, there's so many, pardon the turn of phrase, there's so many different cogs in motion that it's like, okay, cool, you're back. Who cares? What are you going to do at this point that's going to matter? Because, like, clearly, you've been gone long enough. There's been a void that's been filled, and there's other machines getting things rolling. Why do I care one iota why you're back?
And also, in a really human moment, Machina is like, oh, I miss your father. And Sprocket's like, I miss daddy. And here's daddy. And I'm just like, these are cold, unfeeling machines. But also,
emotions at all.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't Mondo technically destroyed?
Yes, but I guess he got put back together.
Because, like, they started talking about him, like, oh, we've lost your father, and he was destroyed, and we got to, oh, he's gone for this episode sort of implied early on that this was temporary, and I'm like, when did this become a temporary, like, absence?
I don't know, and I almost want to chalk that up to, well, maybe something happened. Like, in the original story, something happened and, oh, well, he's going in for extensive repairs, like, almost like a person going in for surgery and, hey, they're not going to be around for a while. But they, instead, when they adapted it, it was like, oh, well, he's just dead. Homeboy dead.
So, considering I reviewed basically the entire Lily Kaboom saga, which is nightmarish to think about, there was never a point where, like, I could point to where, like, Machina was like, we'll get your father back, or anything to, like, even hint slightly, unless I missed it, about Mondo coming back. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there was something.
I mean, I reviewed a couple of them with you, I believe, and I didn't, I think I would have written down if there had been, like, rumors or hints that, like, hey, he's coming back. I didn't see any of that. It was so out of left field that it was like, oh, hi.
Especially because they hinted at this, because they have been developing this rivalry between Gasket and Sprocket of like, oh, who's the successor and who's going to be king of the Machine Empire? And ultimately Mondo comes back.
Yeah.
Which, like, honestly, get rid of Machina and Sprocket and just make Archerina and Gasket the ultimate bad guys to defeat, because they're way more interesting and menacing.
I agree. Like, I think they should have gone away, and I think Mondo should have stayed dead, and this would have been, I think it would have been a cool story where, like, hey, you know, there's been an uprising and there's new management in town, and, like, you failed to do this thing. I don't know if I would necessarily take it. If I was rewriting Zio or O-Ranger, I don't know if I would get to the point where there would be a public execution of sorts necessarily, but there would be something kind of cool where, like, you see that there's a definite change in leadership and power. There's a shift in how things work there. And Orvis and Clank and whoever used to serve the king can either choose to now serve me, or you can choose to also go along with him. You know, like, that would have been a cool story. Instead of just bringing back Mondo.
Yeah, like, Mondo, honestly, even Louis Kaboom was a mistake, not gonna lie. But, okay, yeah. If you've gone with Louis Kaboom and you've destroyed Mondo, let him stay destroyed. Or, give Sprocket an upgrade. Because, it's not like they were fully, based on either they're somehow techno-organic beings that can age, or they're upgraded constantly in order to age them up. So why doesn't they could have done this whole thing where Sprocket is upgraded and then he destroys Gasket or something, and then he's the ultimate bad guy.
I've got an idea. What if there was a component that Mondo left in his will that is handed to Sprocket, and it causes that upgrade? Like you said, that gave me an idea. It's like, you know, maybe it's a staff, or maybe it's the crown, or maybe it's something else. But it's something that causes Sprocket to, like you said, get an upgrade, and all of a sudden he can take on his brother.
Anything would have been better than this. Yes. But I guess, you know, there's still a few episodes to record. Maybe it'll pay off and Mondo will come back as more menacing. I don't remember the Zeo finale and I haven't watched it yet, so I doubt it.
Oh boy.
So I don't know. Any other final thoughts on these three nightmarish episodes?
Just no spoilers, but just don't get your hopes up too much.
Oh, there are no hopes except disappointment.
I can't believe I'm saying this, and I think I've said it on another episode, but because we are getting so close to wrapping up Zeo, I can't believe I'm looking forward to Turbo.
You did say that last episode we recorded, you said that when, I think when we were recording Scent of a Weasel, that trilogy probably. I think so.
Yeah.
But yeah, at this point, I am ready for Turbo, but something interesting that happened here is that except for Mystery to Me, you do have two, whether intentionally or not, are Tommy-centric episodes. And then before that, you had King for a Day. Mm-hmm. And so Tommy, this does feel very much like the Tommy show featuring the Power Rangers, especially when you factor in how little time Adam has gotten to do anything this season.
It's criminal, pretty much. It's, you know, oh no, Tommy's been kidnapped. We have to go save Tommy. Oh, Tommy's been dealing with deja vu. And now, the only episode that really wasn't Tommy-centric was the one where
it came from Angel Grove.
We have this distinct problem where we're focusing too much on the one character that, you know, everybody eventually gets tired of.
Thankfully he's not in that much of Turbo, but it does mean we have to suffer through the Turbo movie. So, we'll have to take the good from the bad, if there is any good to take from the bad, and just, you know, plow through the rest of the season and hope for better tidings to come, which we know they are to come after the first half of Turbo.
Yeah. I gotta say, because when we started doing Mighty Morphin, these are the characters I grew up with, but going through Zeo again, I'm just like, oh my God, I cannot wait for TJ to show up. I can't wait for everybody who's going to wind up being in space, except for, you know, that one character who will not be named. They're starting to wear out their welcome, except for Adam, because Adam is flawless.
And I don't know. There's stuff that we can talk about when we get to recording our thoughts on the season as a whole. And so on that note, Brian, I think is a good note to start talking about you and where the people can find you on that evil social media thing.
Oh, yes, that dirty, dirty social media. It'll be the ruination of us all. You can find me on TikTok at Blue Ranger B-Ride. You can also find me on Twitter at Wondering Geek, where I'm reposting stuff from Voices from the Grid and other token collectors. Fun fact, real fast, and I will say this for today, and this is going to be very dated when the episode comes out. I actually got mentioned in a Toku Topics video today. Because I mentioned, hey, there's a video from Bandai about the something Gokaiger, and I got a shout out from the Living Ranger key, which was awesome. You can also find me on castwaystudios.com. Check out my beer review show, Wonder Geek. Where I talk about craft beers, and I also talk about toys, and not just Power Ranger toys, but Transformers toys, and whatever I'm collecting at that point in time. Sasha, where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
Ugh, suffering. No, you can find me over on geekgirl101.tumblr.com. I am the only nerd on Tumblr. And of course, you can also find me on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan, after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan. And of course, our Power Rangers musings on Twitter at VFTG_PR, and the podcast itself on Google Podcasts, on Spotify, and of course at txhthockey.com/VFTG. Tweet at us, complain to us, whine to us about Power Rangers. There have been some interesting news incoming about Power Rangers that I'm sure will be topic of many conversations online. So with that, thank you for suffering with us, and we hope to see you next time.
Yep, and so until our next more phenomenal episode, be sure to grab your Zionizers and your Zeo Crystals.
And may the power protect you.